back. WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively taking the Maryland Crab Cake Tour back out on the road this week. We're going to be in Dundalk, my homeland. Going to be Drug City. I've been at Drug City many, many, many times. Those of you who don't know about Drug City, I don't want any Dundalk jokes. Going to be at the Fountain Friday, 2 to 5. Going to be giving away some Raven scratch-ups. I have a handful of these left, and I'll have some freshies from Roz as well on Friday. It's all brought to you by our friends at Goodwill. Got my Goodwill shirt on here. Yeah, Halloween's over with, and it's my grandmother's birthday and All Saints Day and all that, but still a great time to give to Goodwill, keeping in mind their jobs programs and the things that they're offering to get people back to work, as well as our friends at Window Nation. They got me working. They got the windows into my place. You buy two, you get two free. 866-90-NATION. It extends into November. I can't tell you what a great idea it was for me to get windows, period. Lucas here. He will tell you what a great idea it is that the Ravens decided to trade for Roquan Smith. We knew there was going to be something. We knew we did an hour radio on Monday that DaCosta was going to trade somebody by like lunchtime. So we were up on that. We did a lot of baseball chatter, and then that got banged a little bit. But Roquan Smith, this is a massive deal. It has lots and lots of tentacles in regard to money, future money, draft picks, and dare I say, are they all in on winning the Super Bowl this year, Luke Jones?
Well, I don't know if an off-ball linebacker qualifies as all in this day and age, but they got better. And I think it's funny. I was going to start off our conversation by saying, remember when the trade deadline in the NFL was a punchline where nothing happened? And that's changed. It's changed a lot in the last 5 years or so, you know, maybe even going back a little bit longer than that.
You know, I had Lee Steinberg on the show later on Monday after the deal. He was the first guest I had on after DaCosta made the deal. And I said to him, I mean, you don't have to prepare your players to get traded in week 8. If you're an agent, you have to do that now.
Yeah, I mean, it's very unconventional compared to what it used to be, but it's becoming the norm. I mean, Eric DaCosta, this is his fourth full season as general manager, and the Ravens have made a significant deadline deal in 3 of those 4 seasons. Go back to Marcus Peters in 2019, Yannick Ngakoue in 2020. Nothing last year, although remember there were plenty of rumors that the Ravens were trying to get Xavien Howard, the cornerback from Miami, unsuccessful in doing that, but they do add Roquan Smith, who certainly fortifies the middle of the defense, certainly strengthens their inside linebacker position, moves Josh Bynes to a reserve role, and puts Roquan Smith, a former 8th overall pick in the NFL draft back in 2018, next to Patrick Queen. So it's certainly a move that makes him better. I do sometimes wonder when you're talking about an inside linebacker that's playing around not the greatest talent of late, at least with that Bears defense, although certainly you can go back a couple years ago and that defense was pretty good. So I'm not moved by tackle numbers. I mean, Patrick Queen led the Ravens in tackles the last 2 seasons. So when I hear people say, well, he's leading the NFL in tackles. Well, okay, what does that look like?
Well, one of the things about knowing a lot about sports like you and me is lies, damn lies, and statistics, right? Like whenever these inflated, we're the number 2 defense, we're the number 8. Based on what? Based on like, and leading it in tackles means you're probably on the field a whole lot. The Bears, they stink. That's the reason they're getting rid of him.
Right. Well, sure. Now, you dive a little bit deeper. Next Gen Stats, which is the NFL's analytics department, basically, and we've cited that before, does rate him first in the NFL in defensive stops, which that is not just a run-of-the-mill tackle. That's a tackle that is a definition where you're making a positive play in terms of that's not a tackle 8 yards downfield. So gives you some context there. I think the interesting thing with Roquan Smith, he has plenty of fans around the league in terms of film, draft pundits who loved him coming out of Georgia, film junkies.
Those a lottery types. Pick. If the Ravens would have picked him, like he was a lottery pick. Literally.
He was a top 10 pick, which in this day and age, off-ball linebackers, that we just saw a top 10 off-ball linebacker in Tampa Bay, Devin White, who was awful on Thursday night and is someone that's kind of, one of those polarizing players where, he looks good at times and he looks not so good at times. With Roquan Smith, I think what's interesting is having been that top 10 pick, he isn't someone who's been to a Pro Bowl. He's been a second team All Pro twice, 2 different times. And, the voting for that is not a very high bar. And to be clear, I'm not saying that means he's not a very good player. I just think there are some mixed opinions around the league. I'll give you another example. Pro Football Focus is not terribly high on him. And that's something that is not gospel, but it's something that's widely used in terms of trying to compare and add context and grade players. So
I know who wasn't high on him, the Bears. They didn't want to make him a contract player, right? Like, literally, that's part of this is, and look, the Bears are the Bears, right? Khalil Mack, we can go through these guys that, you know, they've run through them like water, but there comes a point where if you love your guy, you pay him and you keep him around. That sort of was the magic dust of the Ravens with Reed and Nada, and you know, the guys they wanted to keep around, they kept them around.
Yeah, but at the same time, you do have to consider positional value. And this is where we do come to the reality of he's a pending free agent. Over the summer, reports were that he was asking for $20 million per year. And Nestor, I'm not sure if you're aware of this one, at least as of recently, does not have an agent. So you're talking about potentially another situation where I've heard of players not having an agent and sometimes negotiations being challenging as a result that you're looking at this, but there'll be plenty of time to talk about that element of it. And we'll find out. Time will tell whether this will be a more Marcus Peters like addition where you end up marrying the player for at least a few years, or does this end up being more of a Yannick Ngakoue situation? Ravens are trading a second and a fifth round pick, which is a pretty steep price for a player who could potentially be a rental. But keep in mind, if you don't work out a long-term deal and he signs elsewhere, there's a good chance you're getting a third round compensatory pick for him in 2024. So that's where you kind of weigh this and look at it. Is it going to be long-term marriage, or is this going to be more of a rental? And then you'll get back a comp pick, and that makes the compensation, you know, going each way a little bit different.
Well, it is fascinating how many general managers think they're going to be drafting in April of 2024 to make that pick.
Yeah, well, I mean, and that's where
we have one of them, but there's not even a quarter of the league that really believes they're going to make a pick a year and a half from now.
Well, I mean, that's where you kind of weigh this thing, and that's where, even though I wouldn't have necessarily viewed an inside linebacker as my first choice to upgrade, especially on the heels of John Harbaugh saying Rashad Bateman's going to be out at least a few weeks with a setback with his foot and looking at wide receiver. Or as we mentioned in our previous discussion, I would feel better about their cornerback group if they had another one to them that they could add to the mix. And you felt better about your outside corner depth behind Marlon Humphrey and Marcus Peters. But
well, they addressed wide receiver last week. They got Deshaun Jackson. Right?
Yeah. We'll see if that ends up moving the needle. But at the same time, Roquan Smith makes them better. There's no question about that in my mind. How much better is my question? Is this getting you over the top against Buffalo or Kansas City? I don't know about that. Does this make you better? Does this solidify the middle of the field? Does this make inside linebacker better? Does this help Patrick Queen become a better player? Regardless of what this might mean for him moving forward in terms of long-term contract status, if you do extend Roquan Smith, you know, I think those are all fair, you know, fair questions and fair things to be optimistic about. But again, it is a position, and this goes back to what we talked about at the draft with Kyle Hamilton, with Tyler Linderbaum, with drafting a punter in the fourth round. You do have to consider positional value. And in this day and age, I think I'll say at the very least, considering where the Ravens are, knowing that they're either going to be paying a quarterback a long-term deal or having their quarterback on the franchise tag for the next year or two, I think you have to be very, very, very picky and selective if you're going to pay an off-ball linebacker. Because I can recall not terribly long ago, a lot of people scoffing at the notion of paying CJ Mosley $17 million. Okay, you let him go. And let's be clear, that was the right decision. I don't think CJ Mosley was a $17 million player, but you need to make sure, you need to be positive that Roquan Smith is a $20 million player. And not, look, he may not get that, you know, just because he asked for
it. I don't think the Ravens have any intention of giving him that money, right?
Well,
they make this deal knowing that he's not going to get that kind of money.
Well, and that's the big thing to me, the opportunity cost there. If you sign him to anything close to that, where is that limiting you as far as other positions? You know,
you've already given up the picks, right? The picks are gone. If the idea is we're going to swap him out, rent him, have nothing next year, and get a third back in 24, and give up a five that may be nothing, and 1-2 that maybe we could get on the field next year and the year after that. And the Bears are paying the salary too. Let's throw that in, because the Ravens didn't have cap room. That's why the two happened. The two happened more about money than it happened about the player. But I don't sit here on this as I examine all of it. Representing himself, they have Lamar problems. They have other linebackers coming back. I see this as a rental. I don't see this as he will be in a Raven uniform next year, because they wouldn't franchise him. They already have their own problems with their quarterback.
Sure.
And they're going to have problems with their quarterback. And I think that that's pretty obvious at this point, that this, that there's not going to be a kumbaya, and Steve Bisciotti's not rolling that $250 million of guaranteed money for Lamar now, or probably not in March from where my eyes are. But this linebacker in this deal, this feels much more renty to me. It doesn't feel like they can own him, because that was part of the problem in Chicago, right? Like they couldn't give him enough money.
Yeah. My gut tells me that's the case too. I don't think the Ravens are saying that they definitely won't extend him. I think they're absolutely prepared not to extend him. I think, and that's really where they were with Yannick Ngakoue 2 years ago. I think they were, when they acquired him, there were thoughts that if this is a great fit and he's everything we think he could be in our system, then we'll extend him. Well, we saw how that turned out. He didn't really move the needle in a dramatic way, and that's fine. And look, I don't want to speak in disparaging terms about a Maryland, University of Maryland product, a guy who's done well for himself, but he's also been with several different teams. So there was that thought of, you have some of these guys sometimes that you want to acquire, but then you realize you don't want to extend them long term. So, with Roquan Smith, I mean, there's plenty to like. I think there's some questions as far as his game, but at the same time, I think this absolutely makes them better. It's just a matter of, is this the position that you target to upgrade that's going to get you over the hump against Buffalo and Kansas City? And that's where I know I'm going to sound like a broken record. I do look at wide receiver and corner right now. Not so much corner starting wise, but if something happens with Marcus Peters or Marlon Humphrey, we've talked about that number three corner spot. I mean,
To your $12 million corners, you're screwed, right?
Like, well, but at the same time, you still need a number three corner as a starter in this day and age. And who's the Ravens' number three corner right now? Mike McDonald has even said on the record in press conferences as of a couple weeks ago that number three corner is kind of an open competition right now. Well,
it's week nine. That's not good.
Yeah. And look, that doesn't mean that Brandon Stevens or Damarian Williams they've tried Ardarius Washington there. I mean, Jalen Armour Davis got opportunities early in the season and has since been a healthy scratch. So clearly he fell out of graces in terms of how they view him in 2022. But that's an important position as well. So again, every time you make a deal to improve a spot, that opportunity then is lost to improve somewhere else. And look, you can only do the deals that are presented to you. As John Harbaugh said at his Monday press conference about less than an hour before news broke of the Roquan Smith deal, takes two to tango, and I can talk about wide receiver all I want. It does seem like a limited market there, or it has seemed like a limited market there. And maybe we'll be having another discussion talking about a wide receiver they've acquired. But if not, you do look at it and say, well, it's great to say you want DJ Moore, but if the Carolina Panthers fancy keeping him, for whoever their franchise quarterback that they draft next year is going to be, then you can't get them unless you're going to give them two first-round picks, which I'm not saying that you do that. So,
and then you got to pay the kid. Then you got to negotiate.
Well, he's already on a long-term deal. But the point is, you can't make these moves at every single position, certainly at the trade deadline, where you're talking about having a couple million dollars, as you mentioned and astutely pointed out. That's one reason why the Ravens gave up a second, is because the Bears are footing the bill almost entirely of what Roquan Smith's remaining salary is. So the Ravens only have a couple million dollars to spend on their salary cap. Can you move some money around with some other deals to create space if a wide receiver becomes available and you pull the trigger by the deadline, or corner? Sure. But again, there's always opportunity costs whenever you do something. That means you might not have the resources to do something else. So time will tell. I like the move. I would disagree with, what the question you posed in saying that this makes them all in. I don't know if I don't know if there's an off-ball linebacker that makes a team all in.
Dude, when you start trading number two draft picks in this organization, because this is not an F them picks organization, right?
Well, but then we're having a different but that's a different definition of what all in is then, right? You know, the Ravens aren't an all in organization. The Rams were. They won a Super Bowl, and now you look at where the roster is now. To me, it was worth it, but it's certainly a different methodology of roster building, and that's fine. You know, that there's plenty of variety as it pertains to that in any sport. But you know, that's where I look at this and say they're better, no question about it. Do I think this has dramatically improved their Super Bowl chances? I don't know about that. So we'll have to see how that plays out. And a big part of this is also scheme fit. Not just that, but how quickly can Roquan Smith get up to speed in this defense? Because let's keep in mind, this was talked about. Another first round pick, Patrick Queen, the last couple of years. You know, there was talk about how quickly he was picking up the defense. Can Roquan Smith pick this up on the fly and be a high impact player right away? Or is there going to be a little bit of a learning curve, which I'm not saying that that's a bad thing, but does that impact your chances down the stretch? Especially if this is only going to be a rental, as you think, and as I wonder if it ends up being that way, then you know, we'll see how it plays out. So I like it. I just don't know if it's, you know, I don't know if this propels them into that same tier as Buffalo and how I view Kansas City at the moment, which, you know, we'll see how it plays out. Roquan Smith's a heck of a player, you know, but at the same time, off-ball linebacker is one of those spots that there are very few unicorns in this day and age. You know, we're not talking, I'm not comparing them to Ray Lewis or Hall of Famers or anything like that. I just think it's tough. You know, there's a lot of strain to be that elite player at that position where you're shutting down tight ends like you know, Travis Kelce or whoever you're talking about. So again, some of the numbers look great. Other metrics say, you know, Roquan Smith is a good player, but not special player. So we'll see how it plays out. We'll get a good seat over the next 8-9 weeks to really judge for ourselves. And that factors into what we were talking about with the Ravens. I mean, if he's truly the second coming, and no one's the second coming of Ray Lewis, but he's as close as they've gotten to that, and they love him way more than they love CJ Mosley, then maybe they do extend him. And maybe he loves it here to the point where maybe his price drops a little bit, you know, just a little bit.
Well, there is a leadership aspect for him, right? Specifically, that would look, man, when I think of imported defensive players here, right, this isn't that franchise. This is a franchise where Ray Lewis was there for 17 years, every play, every snap, all the time. Ed Reed was there, you know, like coming in and being Trevor Price and saying, I'm a leader, I'm a good guy, I'll be here a little while, or a Calais Campbell. I'm thinking of imported players not named Earl Thomas, right? Like they brought the wrong guy in that particular case, and you know, I guess I didn't do enough on his reputation, right? Like that thing happened in the spring, happened in the middle of the night. It happened when the CJ Mosley defection happened to the Jets, right? And you think about where these cornerstone, I mean, Marlon Humphrey is a pretend leader. I'll say that to his face. I'll say that to Chad Steele, John R. I've seen the act. I see the act out on the internet. I see the act with the media. I've seen the act in the locker room just when they let me in the locker room back in the day, which is probably one of the reasons they don't let me in the locker room, because I see the act. He's not a leader. He thinks he's a leader. He's a podcaster. He's not a leader. And I've seen leaders. Calais Campbell's a leader, right? But he's not for long term. In bringing this kind of guy, I mean, the guy's a lottery pick. The guy's wants a lot of money. He's a franchise player in his mind. Can this defense, and you're in the locker room and I'm not, absorb this kind of person or personality to the point where that person can become a leader? Because Earl Thomas was never going to be that, because he didn't have the makeup and he didn't have the respect of his first in meetings. Think
right.
Important stuff. The leadership council stuff, as John Harbaugh would say. This guy, does he have the potential to be a heart transplant for this team? I go back to the scouting on him and say, maybe, and maybe they think that about him. And on the outside, we're calling it a rental. And they're like, no. We love that guy. And we think we're going to love that guy. And by the end of the year, we might love him because we know Lamar's not signing here. And we, you know, like I don't know that, but they know more of that. And I would say right now, Eric DeCosta has a very, very good grip on whether Lamar is really going to stay here or not. He sat in different than you and me or the media. He has sat in a room with Lamar and looked into his soul and said, you know, I'm giving you all this money, but do you really not want to be here? Do you really, is your dream playing somewhere else? I haven't figured that part of it out, but the balance of the money and the draft picks and trying to win and where they are, making this kind of a splash with this kind of a player, giving up twos is not for the faint of heart. I know it was money related, and getting the three back is a nice story, and Eric will be here to draft in 18 months. But I do think, are they looking for a leader? Or do they need more leadership on their defense, not named Marcus Peters, who wants to kill the coach when things go bad? That's not a leader. It's just not. I've been watching this too long. They need somebody who's on Harbaugh's page on the defense, on McDonald's page, who's a youngish guy, and they haven't been able to draft that. They love C.J. Mosley. He got expensive for them. So when I think about it like that, I think about, where's the heart and soul of their – who's the heart and soul of their defense? They gave all this money to Marcus Williams. They've given all this money to Humphrey and a podcast, and Marcus Peters wants to kill the coach. Where's the heart and soul when it's not Calais Campbell out there?
I mean, first of all, I think you're overblowing the Marcus Peters thing. And let's face it, Ed Reed and Ray Lewis had their – they had their times. Jarrett Johnson had his times with John Harbaugh. I mean, you know –
But do you think Marcus Peters is the leader of the defense? Who's the leader?
I absolutely think he is one of them, yeah. Okay. He's got some fire like some of those old Ravens I just mentioned. Two, he is an absolute football savant. He's actually one of the few guys that I would say, yeah, he is a leader. And some of what you said about some other guys, you know, I think there's at least some validity to it, no question. And you know, it's your
this
opinion.
This guy has a leadership aspect, and you paid a lot to bring him in. He's not going to be a flower in the corner, I don't think.
Oh, I would agree with you. And again, that's where you kind of look at this thing, and we'll be able to judge it for ourselves. I think you could, if this defense takes it to another level, and that's where I would say the Marcus Peters thing. Go back and look at 2019, where that defense was playing the first 6-7 weeks of the season, and see how it transformed when you added Marcus Peters into the mix there.
I have never seen Ozzie Newsome glow. And I've seen Ozzie in a lot of press boxes. I won't see him anymore, but I've seen him. I saw him glowing over Marcus Peters 3-4 weeks into it. It was in the Cleveland press box. I think he was talking to Terry Pluto or somebody, just on and on and on about Marcus Peters. He loved Marcus Peters. And I think they must love Roquan Smith like that. I mean, I'm thinking that a month from now, they're going to feel like, holy hell, the Bears are paying him and we gave up FM picks. You know, I think that they're believing in it that way, that they'd like it to be more than a rental if they fall in love with him. I mean, they just gave a nice chunk of draft capital away for him.
Yeah, I mean, I think, again, I'll go back to what you said initially and, you know, what my reply was, that I think you make this move with thoughts that you're certainly open to an extension and entertaining that. I don't think you do this if you're saying you have no interest in re-signing him. I think the point is, and you mentioned it, second round compensation, because, I mean, the Bears are paying most of his salary. If you kind of look at it, what he has about $5.4 million salary for the remainder of the season on his fifth-year option. Bears are paying $4.8 million of that. I mean, he's making the vet minimum basically with the Ravens as far as what they're paying. So that's why it's a second-round pick as opposed to probably a third. You know, I think – and then if you're talking a third and a fifth, that's about what the Ravens paid for Yannick Ngakoue off the top of my head. I mean, maybe you can Google it real quick as I'm, you know, spewing my what I'm thinking here. But I think you're absolutely open to that. But this is your opportunity to see what that looks like. And is he going to be that transformative, dynamic type leader that I would agree with you that they would stand the benefit? We've seen this defense play at a very high level for periods of time, but we've also seen them struggle in the fourth quarter. Or in the last 2 weeks, they've given up 10 points in their first two defensive drives. So I think, yeah, I think Roquan Smith absolutely could be that kind of guy for them. Very highly regarded. Never heard anything about him being a bad teammate or anything like that. And look, I don't follow the Chicago Bears religiously or anything like that. So, you know, that. But I think you saw it last week when Quinn was traded by the Bears to the Eagles, Robert Quinn, Roquan Smith broke down. He got emotional. So that's clearly someone who cares about a teammate at the very least in that situation. And, you know, he's someone that, you know, requested a trade and was unhappy in the summer, but it seems as though he's been nothing but a professional since then, which, hey, Chuck Clark required a trade this offseason. You know, so that there's a business side to this. There always is. So I think if you're the Ravens, you want to see that part of it. I think you have some ideas, and this goes back to scouting that you did, even though they never were going to be able to take him in the 2018 draft. You still do your homework and you still talk to coaches and scouts and all the different individuals involved in the pre-draft process. But yeah, I think there is something to the idea of, can this guy come in and establish himself as one of your leaders on defense? And, you know, Marcus Peters did that very quickly. You know, really from day one, he became one of the leaders on that defense, and the defense was better the rest of the way. And it's a big reason why the Ravens re-signed him. So I'm not going to sit here and say Roquan Smith won't be extended. I also am not going to sit here and say that, oh, just because they gave up a second and fifth round pick means they're going to pay him $20 million a year like he wants. You know, I'm not at all convinced by that. But we will have the next couple months, and you hope 3 months, because that means you're playing into January, to see what this looks like. And maybe Roquan Smith has another level to his game, that he takes it to another level playing around better players. And you look at this defense right now, it's got a lot of youth, lots of youth. When you look at Justin Madubuike up front, and Travis Jones, and Broderick Washington, and Patrick Queen right next to Smith, and David Ojabo, who's going to be making his NFL debut here in the next couple weeks. And you know, go down the list, Adafe Owe, Kyle Hamilton on the back end. So, and that's not even talking about Marlon Humphrey, who's still relatively young, and Marcus Williams, who's still, you know, only 26 years old. So you've got a lot of young players. Is Roquan Smith one of those key pieces, that a foundational piece that can make them better? We'll see. I don't know that right now, because I'm going off of the same as what everyone else is as far as watching him from afar. Good player. You know, at times he's been a really good player, and you know, some of the metrics are, you know, suggest that he can be that great player, but you need to see how it looks here. You know, everyone was pumped when they got Ngakoue a couple years ago. It wasn't the best fit. So
time, by the way, it was a third round pick and a conditional fifth. I looked it up.
Okay. So there you go. I mean, really, it's just that upgrade. The Ravens got cash. I mean, really, they got cash in this deal. I mean, that's what that equates to. So yeah, you are going to have to give up a little more draft capital. But if this only ends up being a good move and not a great move, a move that you like and makes you better, but doesn't put you over the top come January, and I'm not saying that's all on Roquan Smith, just looking at this team in its totality, then it might be a situation where you say, you know what, we can't do this because, you know, we've got to pay Lamar. We've got some other some other things that we need to do to try to upgrade this football team. And we're going to let him go, and we'll take the third round comp pick in 2024. And yeah, we gave some draft capital for a rental, but that's what you do when you're trying to win and you're trying to make a deep playoff run, which, you know, just because I said they're not all in doesn't mean that this isn't a move that clearly they're trying to make themselves better for January. And hey, by the way, it helped a lot that the Bengals dressed as the Bungles for Halloween, and that's just increased their AFC North title odds that much more. So it's a team that's in a good position, and we'll see what kind of impact Roquan Smith can make. So again, I want to be clear. I like the move, but at the same time, I do have big enough concerns at some other positions, like wide receiver, like their depth at corner, where, you know, I do want to caution them. Again, maybe we'll be having another conversation talking about another deal being made. But again, there's only so many resources that you have to try to make these deadline deals. And third time in 4 years that Eric DaCosta has pulled something off right before the deadline.
He is Luke Jones. He is Baltimore Luke. You can follow him out on the Twitter, on the Instagram, on the social media places. He'll be in Owings Mills whenever they let him. They're playing some football on Monday night. So we have some downtime around here, some downtime to watch some World Series action. We'll be doing that the next couple of days as well. On Friday, I will be in Dundalk in my homeland at the Fountain at Drug City. I'm really looking forward to this. It's going to be a great, great afternoon. Got a lot of friends stopping by. My Dundalk community lost a valued and loved professor in Alan Stockett over the weekend. So I got some people coming by to pay tribute to Mr. Stockett, and we'll do that. Mr. Stockett was an English teacher, Luke, and he was Dundalk's English teacher. He was Dundalk's thespian. He was Dundalk's Shakespeare, Beatles act, you know, like all of that. He was just the most. Yeah, I know you were a teacher. This guy died over the weekend, and I have never seen anything like it on my Facebook of how
incredibly beloved he was in trying to get me to become a professional writer. He's still working on it. He's on my shoulder every day. So we'll be in Dundalk honoring him. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. I'll be giving away a few more Raven scratch-offs that I have left. We're going to be moving into a new season of scratch-offs and Game of Life by the weekend as well. It's also brought to you by our friends at Goodwill and our friends at Window Nation, 866-90-NATION, reminding you, if you need windows, I've had a couple friends call me. They're like, yeah, I love the windows. Love it. Up, down, screens, clean, perfect. No draft. It's good stuff. I am Nestor. We are WNSD, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking. Baltimore, positive.